Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter, where Jesus says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their teaching is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." There are a lot of people in the world who claim to have a deep love for God's holy word, but they never open up the book and look at it. Others, while having a great knowledge of the Bible and even many verses memorized, for some reason insert those memorized passages out of context. They insert them into things going on so that that passage fits this context rather than the context that it was spoken of in Scripture. And then there are the other phantom passages that we're all aware of that people use, like cleanliness is next to godliness and the Lord helps those who help themselves. Those are not in Scripture, but some people quote them just as if they are from Scripture. Well, these people all honor God with their lips, and I say these people, that includes you and I many times. We honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him. Whenever you or I use Scripture out of context to make a point, whenever we make up a phantom phrase and use it to make a point in God's name, we're taking sound biblical doctrine and twisting it and morphing it into dangerous, eternal life-threatening heresy. Introduce the scribes and the Pharisees. In our gospel text, as usual, the scribes and the Pharisees are on a fault-finding mission. They're hoping to catch Jesus and his disciples in a mistake in something they saw as wrong, and that would be not following the traditions of the elders. Now, it's worth noting that not all scribes and not all Pharisees were unscrupulous, power-hungry people. You remember the name Joseph of Arimathea. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a good and righteous man. He did not go along with the idea of crucifying Jesus, but he was the one that went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body so that he could take it down off the cross and bury it in his own unused tomb. Another name you'll remember, Nicodemus. He too was a Pharisee. He's the one who had a discussion about baptism with Jesus, but then when Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus was there to help prepare Jesus' body in the tomb. But none of these types of Pharisees were along on this mission. St. Mark writes that when some of the group saw that Jesus' disciples did not eat with washed hands, they confronted Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Now it is true, God did institute washing rules for uncleanliness, but these are to specific people and in specific instances. And these instances, the ceremonial law, was not about binding the hands of man, but the ceremonial law was all about trusting in God and His wisdom. It was about worshiping God alone, and not false idols. It was to set the Jewish people apart from the rest of the inhabitants of the country. But the scribes and Pharisees were just like you and I and others when we take Scripture out of context, when we quote passages and force them into our own agenda, and it turns into heresy. The Pharisees had taken God's law And they had built their own traditions around God's law in an attempt that this wall they built would keep someone from accidentally breaking that law and sinning. So you had to scale the man-made wall even before you could get to God's law. And in doing so, these traditions handed down by the elders generation after generation, in their opinion, trumped God's commandments. God's commandments that were handed down on Mount Sinai, the commandments that God has written on your heart. It was all about going through the proper motions, following the exact observant of man-made ritual law. And Jesus saw this. He said to them, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." Today we call this lip service. It's talking the talk of being a faithful and devout Christian, being faithful to God's word and his commands, but not walking the walk. It's when you and I honor God with our lips, when our hearts are far, far away from his word. It's kind of like when you know this person doesn't particularly care for you, and you're not going to go out of your way to see that person. But when they see you, although they don't like you, they come running over. "Hi, how's it going?" And they pat you on the back and shake your hand. It doesn't make sense. They're giving lip service. It's sort of like that kiss that Judas put on Jesus' cheek in the Garden of Gethsemane. The kiss of betrayal. Well, lip service to God is standard operating procedure for the sinful man. You and I frequently take Bible passages out of context. We create phony passages and attempt to justify our fleshly wants and desires. You say you're against divorce. You say you're against same-sex relationships. Well, until it hits close to home. And then your lips concoct all sorts of phony messages and passages and attempt to wallpaper over and hide the truth of your sin, the guilt of your transgressions. Your lips proclaim that abortion is murder. Well, that's until an unplanned pregnancy risks embarrassing you or your family, or gets in the way of life plans. Euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide. Well, those are definitely murder, aren't they? Well, when it happens to a loved one or someone such as yourself is suffering, you turn your back on God's word and trust in your own understanding, preferring that your will be done rather than God's will. Most Christians say that they believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. But when you and I ask them if baptism grants salvation and bestows the gift of the Holy Spirit, or if infant baptism is valid, they start backpedaling. "Now, wait a minute, that's not what those words in Scripture say." Last week I mentioned when Lutherans say that Jesus is present in, with, and under the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. We tell them, "Jesus said, 'This is my body, this is my blood.'" And their response is, "Well, that's just figurative language. It only represents." You see, we all do a lot of verbal gymnastics just to get out of the way and explain away God's word as recorded in Holy Scripture. And what that is doing, it's hanging on to the traditions of men, the traditions of denominations. It's creating our own commandments instead of holding fast to the inspired and inerrant word of God. Now, I know what you're saying to yourself. Pastor, we just sang a hymn that talked about we need to keep Luther's small catechism. Who's to say which interpretation is correct? How do I know what Scripture really says? And how do you Lutherans know that you're right? You're just following the traditions of the Lutherans. Well, you notice in our text, Jesus scolded the Pharisees and the scribes for teaching the commandments of men. And even today, we still confess that anything that is taught, anything that is believed, anything that is confessed must be based upon Holy Scripture, not based upon the words of man. And that takes us back to Luther in the Reformation. He stressed sola scriptura, which means Scripture alone. Luther protested against the false doctrines taught by the Church of Rome. Rome had become enslaved to the traditions of men handed down through the generations, just like those of the elders in our Bible text. And unfortunately, many of those slaveries still exist today. Praying to the saints, worshiping the Virgin Mary, confessing that Mary was immaculately conceived, and praying and paying their hard-earned dollars away, hoping to spring a loved one out of purgatory. You can look, but you'll find none of these things recorded in Scripture. As modern-day Lutherans, we continue to point to Scripture alone, as recorded by the prophets and the apostles, because Scripture does not change. What is recorded in the Holy Bible is the divinely inspired, inerrant Word of God. We believe what it says, period. Now, yes, there are times when Scripture contradicts human reason. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, we know dead people don't walk. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish and then vomited up 3 days later on the beach. Well, that certainly doesn't sound reasonable. Well, when it comes to what sounds reasonable versus what God's word says, we have to let the tension between the two remain. Meaning, even though it doesn't sound reasonable to us, God said it was so, well, then I must believe what Scripture says. To use the words of Luther, I'm bound by the Scriptures. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Now, traditions of men may very well look good, right, and salutary on the outside. But when you and I look as clean can be, your Father in heaven can still see inside and see our hearts. You see, as we'll hear in next week's gospel lesson, it's not on the outside that defiles a man, but what flows from the inside. And as sinful people before our Creator, what flows from our mouths is nothing more than sewer water. The Lutheran reformers emphasized three solas: sola scriptura, sola gratia, and sola fide. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. God does not make himself known to you by the traditions of men, but through the inspired and inerrant Word of God. His Word testifies that He sent His only begotten Son, holy and innocent, to take on the flesh of man and become your substitute, to become all mankind's substitute. And Jesus, as substitute, fulfilled all laws, be they civil, ceremonial, or God's moral law. He fulfilled them all in your place. And we call this Jesus' active obedience. But then in His passive obedience, Jesus was also your substitute by suffering God's entire wrath against sin. Suffering in His death, hanging on the cross, shedding His blood, which you and I deserved. God the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice, His work of salvation, and raised Him from the dead. And for Jesus' sake alone, God pours out that boundless grace and the forgiveness of sins to you and all who believe. It's not by your works of following the traditions of man. It's by God's abundant grace. Grace alone, for the sake of Jesus, Jesus' work of salvation on your behalf. Jesus did all the work for you and all believers, and for His one holy Christian church. And in doing this, He sanctified you, and He has cleansed you, not on the outside as the washing off of the skin and water, but a spiritual cleansing of the heart, washing you in the holy waters of baptism, clothing you in His righteousness so that you may be holy and blameless in His sight. Now, you might think, Pastor, this all sounds way too easy. It doesn't stand up to reason. It just isn't common sense. Well, it doesn't make sense. So we let the tension remain. We don't believe because something in God's Word sounds reasonable. We believe because God said so. He gave you His promise. You receive it by faith alone. Faith in God's Word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are a lot of false teachers proclaiming phony doctrines and traditions of men in our world today. But just as we've seen earthly governments prove, you can create a whole lot of laws, but human law and tradition cannot change hearts. God alone changes hearts. God alone creates new and clean hearts. And it's only for the sake of Jesus, your substitute, Christ alone, you receive His grace by faith alone. And it is He who has reconciled you with the Father, and He presents you with a clean and right heart, renewed by the Holy Spirit. You are holy and blameless in His sight. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.